those people who are competing with the fair mutual dollar on that first fraction. Boy, look at him, runs a 21.3. Wow, he's going to get out there and never look back. And then he's looking at some of the horse's tail there in the next 30 seconds. So that's what Tom means now. MUV stands for, it's an energy phrase, but it's we transport it over into the Thermation Velocity Program. MUV stands for Match-Up Variegate. All that MUV means that if it's zero, that horse has, now it doesn't mean he's in the lead now, that horse has the energy to be in the lead. He is carrying his energy the most, the farthest. So a zero MUV horse is a horse with the least deficiency in the earlier part of the race. Numbers going from zero upward represent that horse's deficiency from zero. We didn't call it, in the matchup program we called it second call beaten lengths, which is not. It's not, has nothing to do with beaten lengths. It has to do with units of energy behind the dream second call, or the first two fractions. Actually, it carries it a little bit more than the first two fractions, but that's done by internal extrapolation. Think of it as the horse that goes the fastest, the farthest, is the zero MUV horse. That horse is the horse you match the other horses up against. In other words, the matchup variegate, zero meaning the best from the standpoint of velocity. I mean, not necessarily you're going to win. If you're a real good contender getter like Tom is, the lower the MUV, very frequently the more chance the horse has of winning. But this is all a matter of personal observation. Some of you might get all your winners from 1.64 MUV. But zero is best from the standpoint of the most velocity, the longest, and anything going upward from zero is deviant from that zero. And we'll go over some other phrases later on as they come up, but right now I'd like to turn it over to Marion, who will then turn it over to Tom.
As Howard talked about how you got into thoroughbred racing and what happened to you that suddenly you decided that you wanted to do this as maybe for recreation or maybe as a lifestyle, you know, way of making a living, whatever the case might be. And I still question in my mind, how did I happen to get into this? I was sitting there wondering, how did this happen to me? But anyway, it all happens because of the fact I find in most people is they have a desire to do something different with their lives as far as being able to make some money, subsidize what income they already have. A lot of retired people get into this too. I'm finding more and more retired people get into it because it's a way of subsidizing their retirement. If they're able to accomplish what a lot of people are accomplishing as far as thoroughbred racing is concerned. First of all, you have to have that feeling about this particular business that you can, that you'll be able to do something with it. And that you'll be able to analyze any given situation and make a decision about who you should bet at the races and who you shouldn't bet. But many people get caught up in, since there's a lot of beginners here, I want to tell you, a lot of people get caught up in what some other guy thinks about a particular race. And that individual might know very little about thoroughbred racing as far as winning is concerned. But if you listen to him, and he's talking, and I go to the off-track betting all the time, and these guys up there, some of them, they're really going at it. Sometimes it's three or four guys together, and they can make a case for any horse in the race. And if you listen to them, you're going to be in Dutch. I tell you, you're going to be really up against it, because they're sitting there making a case. And the reason for that is, I think that they want somebody else to be betting a horse beside them. You know, so if the horse runs out, he doesn't feel so bad, you know. Last Saturday, I was at the Saquon and the Indian Reservation in San Diego, and I was out there betting, and I go up, there's an upstairs area in the non-smoking area, and I had stopped going up there so much because there was a guy up there driving me bananas. So I decided I would walk up there and see some of the guys that I know that always be at the Del Mar, when we go up there at the Intertrack and at the Del Mar meet, and I want to go up and talk to him a little bit. And so one guy asked me, Mary says, how about this race here? And I says, well, what do you want to do? You know, if you want to hit the exact, bet the 1, 2, 3 boxes, you can't miss it. I said, the 2 should win, the 3 should run second, and if one of those miss running second, I says, the 1 will be there. And so that's all I said. Well, there was a guy there who was a sergeant methodology player who calls me constantly, talks to me all the time, and asking me for information. He always has a lot of questions about racing. And he was there, and he heard me say that. But he didn't play the horse. You see, so when the race is over, and I go back up there to see the guys again a couple of races later, he says, turned out just, this guy tells me, he said, turned out just like you say, Mary. And the 2-horse ran, won the race, paid $17, and the 3-horse ran second. The exacta paid $100 and something for every 2, says, and just like you said. So this guy, he follows me, and he says, how did you get that horse? And I said, well, as much time as I've spent with you, at least you should have given the horse a shot. He says, I didn't like the horse. I said, well, who did you like? He liked the favorite, who is still running at some track somewhere. But that is the kind of thing that a lot of people get themselves into in thoroughbred racing, and that is, if they find somebody who they think really knows, they want to outwit that person. If they find somebody who doesn't know anything, oh, they love him. They follow him anywhere. The guy couldn't win if it was 1 horse on the track. He couldn't win. He's listening to him. Well, he said, and I says, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Don't listen to him. So you don't want to get caught up in that. What you want to do is make your own decisions about racing. If you're going to be a success in this particular business, you're going to have to make some decisions. And when they go wrong, and they will go wrong a lot of times, you got to be able to say, well, I can't change it. That's what happened. I'm going to the next one. That's what you have to do. They might go wrong. Might be 2 or 3 of them go wrong on you, but you gotta say, well, I made the right decision. Something went wrong, and I can't help it. I can't do anything about it. It's past. So let's go on to the next race. It happens to me a lot of times. It's happened to me many times. When you got a horse that's going off 6-1, $14 mutual. You know, you got another horse going off 5-1, gonna pay $12. Those are your 2 horses you're gonna bet. And what happens? The horse likes to run. One of them likes to go to early. He likes to go early. And the other horse likes to run presser. So you say, well, these horses are just right today. You know what your model is, how the track is running. And these horses are going to be there today because there's no other speed in the race. And what does the jockey do with your horse? It's a speed horse. He's fighting him on the backside, holding his head back, trying to make a late run with the horse. And the horse quits. The other horse got left at the gate. Now, you're in a lot of trouble. But these kind of things do happen. Don't let them affect your thinking in regards to what you're doing. If you're doing it right, you're doing it right, and you just keep on doing it. And so that is one of the things that beginners have to concentrate on all the time, and that is know your track. You got to know your track, know how your track is running, and make these decisions. Don't be afraid to make decisions. Don't be asking some other guy, what do you like in this race, because he might not know as much about it as you do. Most time, he knows very little. There are some people that I have been able to work at the track with that they do the races, they come to the track, and we sit down and we talk about a race, but we still, whatever horse we're going to bet, the Rosses are 2 people that I'm with a lot at the track. It's a young fellow over here. We've been at the track a lot. We were at Fairplex a lot, and we won a lot of money at Fairplex Park. And they were just running right. They were precision. We were right on. The horses were breaking just right, and the jockeys were giving them the right ride. But a lot of times that don't happen. Other things will happen in the race, and it can be a hurting thing if you let it, but you go on to the next race and say, well, I'll win the next one. And when you're really winning, it's when you're looking at the race, you're seeing the races, they're really the way that they shape up. You know who the winner. Burham has always told. I've heard Burham tell people at the track many times. They're talking about the well. Energy got this one, and Burham says, "You made a decision. You got that horse because you made a decision. You ran it through the computer. You took the print out, and you went to the window and made the bet. And that's what you have to do. And when it goes wrong, you have to accept it and face up to it and deal with it. Don't start crying. Some of these guys come to me crying about the race, crying about he lost two races in a row, you know. I said, but you were out here the other day. I remember you won five straight and all big mutuals. So don't spend your time wallowing in tears and in misery, you know. You don't want to do that. You want to go out there and make some money. And if you're not doing well that day, don't feel bad about it, you know. Get it the next day, go out and get them. That's the way I always do it. I just go right back the next day. And sometimes you can pick up the racing form, and you see it just does not, what you see in the program does not fit your personality. That's the way I look at it. So don't let anybody influence you to go to the track today. Maybe you just don't feel good. Really, sometimes you just don't feel like going out there. So don't go. Don't let nobody say, hey, let's go out there, you know. It was a guy called me last Saturday morning, and he says to me, he says, it looks like they're going to be all favorites today. And he says, I don't think I'll go. What do you think? I says, well, I'm going. I don't know whether it's going to be favorites or not, but I know who I'm going to bet when I get out there, so I'm going. So I got out there, and the first horse pays $22 in the first race. It just kept on like that. The fourth race, I had a $26 horse. The fifth race, a $17 horse. The sixth race, I had a $33 horse. It just kept going like that all day. So as soon as I got home, I called him on the telephone. I didn't do it to hurt his feeling anything because... But he was shocked at the mutuals I got that particular day. But we were out there opening day of Hollywood Park, and we started out. I tell you, we were just killing them. We were getting good prices, $22, $178 exactas and everything. And the same guy. I don't know. I just don't think he felt like going to the races that day. So I didn't try to influence him to go. He was sorry he didn't. But some days you don't feel like going. If you don't feel like going, stay at home. Find something else to do. Sometimes you need rest from it. And one of the times you really do need rest from the races is you go out and you really sock them that day. You really, really make a lot of money. The next day, usually, you're just too exhausted to go. A lot of people don't recognize that either. You've got to realize that the next day, you might be pretty tired out. If you do like Brohammer, well, you go out and bet one race, and you win it, pay $16, you know. Then you go home. Well, the next day, you can go back again. A lot of people go out there and try to fight it. Another problem you might have is if you're using the methodology, there's a tremendous amount of work to be done before you go to the racetrack. You cannot neglect doing the work. If you don't do the work, don't expect to win the money. Really, you got to do the work. Now, you might find that nine races is too much for you. You don't have to do nine races, you know. Find yourself three or four races to do, and do those races thoroughly. Sometimes it's the first four, sometimes it's the middle four, sometimes it's the last four or three, whatever the case might be. And you do those and do them thoroughly, and you go out and win some money and go home. Some people believe you got to have about 10 tracks to make a living at the track, at the races. You got to have 10 tracks you're doing, you know. You don't have to have a lot of tracks to make it. Doesn't matter. One track, you can make it. There's a man that was at the, a doctor that was at the seminar in Kansas City. And he just got started. He hadn't been with us long. And he has phase one, I think it is, or phase three, he was using.
Phase two.
Phase two?
He's using Brown.
He's using Brown, yeah. Phase two, that's what he was using. And then, he was, after the seminar, he was going to visit some friends, some relatives down in Arizona. And then he was coming to San Diego. And he came to San Diego, and he called me. And the Del Mar meet was going on, and... he made all his expenses for his trip at the Del Mar meet. We'd talk every day. Okay, and then when he went back, he would call me. Because he was at a small track, he he was wondering if he could make it a small track, and we sometime we would go over the races. He'd call me and he'd tell me about the race. He said, I'd like to go out there for the last three races or the last two races, and we'd kind of go over the races, and he'd go out there and make money. So he's been very successful doing that. In fact, he hit a trifecta, paid $2,000 the other week, and now he's going to buy a Thurimation. Because he was talking to me about buying Thurimation or buying Energy, and I says, make enough money at the track to do it, and that's what he did. And it was a race where it was a starter allowance race. He called me about it, and we had talked about it quite a bit in Kansas City about a starter allowance race, and he told me the horses and where they had won at, and I said, well, this is the horse that's going to win the race. So he went out and he won the race, and the next time that horse comes up again a couple of weeks later, he called me about, and the same horse is going to win again. And he paid $8 mutual, and he had the two long shots, ran second and third, and he got a big trifecta. But that is the way you have to do it. You have to take the time to do all the work. And he was doing all the work and doing the APV in class, the APV stuff, and then really looking at the races seriously, as we had talked about a few years ago, that you got to be serious about this if you're going to deal with it. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels. Many times I go to track and people come out and tell me they didn't have time to do the races. Well, they should be at home. And I will tell them, you know, you should have stayed home today. But they're looking for somebody else to do the races many times because the amount of work that's involved in it. There's a tremendous amount of work involved in it. If you're going to be successful, you got to want to be successful. Some people want to lose their money. Because I meet them at the track all the time, doing it, day in and day out. They come to me, they've got Dick Mitchell's program today they're using. I see them next week, they got somebody else's program. And I got the Sergeant Methodology at home. I said, why aren't you using that? I said, well, I got, what you got? I got Synergism. You know, I got the energy. And I was thinking about that Thurimation. Well, I don't think you should be thinking about it. You got more stuff now than you can use, you know. But how are you doing with this new program? Some of them getting something faxed in to them. How's it working? Well, I'm not winning yet. So you got to make a decision about these things and get with them and work with the program. Well, a lot of people tell me it's just too much work in sodden methodology. It's not too much work. If you want to win the money, you got to do the work. And we were out there last Saturday. And looking at a race, Sergeant Methodology people are there, talking. There's a horse, had a lot of starts, haven't won in a long time. And oh, he won't win. So I'm talking to a guy next to me, I says, this horse is going to run away from him. And he said, yep. I said, he's 15 to 1. We go make our bet. When it hit the turn, it was so long, and I do mean goodbye. Paid $33 to win. Because the horse had been going root races, they're dropping back to 6.5 furlongs. Now, the Sergeant Methodology tells you all the time you use the internal fraction there. This horse's internal fraction sets him up to just burn this field, and that's what he did, and paid $33. But that's the Sergeant Methodology, and you got to be using it. You got to be looking and seeing, you know, looking in your racing form and see where does this horse fit into the Sergeant Methodology, what they've been teaching me. And this horse fit. He didn't want to go a route. He would always go 6, 6.5 up front, pressing the pace or on the pace. Today they put him where he belonged. You got to be able to analyze those kind of situations and take advantage of it. The favorite was a horse that was 6 to 5 or something. I think he got down to 4 to 5. He ran second or third. I think he finished third. He didn't even finish second. But if you want to win at the races, you take the Sergeant Methodology, you go home and you study and you study and you study and you just keep working with it. And you get your racing form out and you go over your racing form. I call the night before and get the scratches. In Southern California, we can call. I call the racetrack and get the scratches, and I work the form. If I'm going to play a lot of races that particular the next day, if I want to play 9 races, I work it. I got to start working early that evening so I can get through by 11 o'clock that night and get up early the next morning and finish up my work before I go to the track. And I'm going to get a lot of calls that morning. I've almost had to cancel some of these calls. Some of these guys are so long-winded to call you in the morning and you're trying to work the form, you know, asking you all these questions. But you're going to have to do all this work. So you might be better off many times to do 3 or 4 races and go out there, like I told you previously, and make some money and go home. Do you have any questions? Thank you very much. Bro Hammer.